Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name is Dave, and I am pleased tonight to be joined by Mickey, who is a regular fundraiser for our folks in Cantalomba in our project in Africa. Welcome, Mickey.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
I'm a little warm, but other than that, I'm good.
Yeah, I can sympathize. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've done over the years to support our friends in Cantalomba?
Well, I think ever since I started participating in the Bridge Walk, which I think is not quite all of them. I think I missed the first one, but ever since then, I've been attending the Bridge Walk, and it just always seemed like it was part of attending it to raise money, to come with a contribution. And so I think every year I've done some kind of a fundraiser. And where I live, I'm a little bit limited in terms of doing things like garage sales because nobody goes by my house. So I sort of turned to my extended network of friends and family and have asked them over the years to support me in raising money. And every year I've sort of come up with a different experience for them to participate in terms of supporting the project. And the year I was turning 62, I decided that I wanted to do a 62-mile bike ride, so I asked people to support me in that. And I think my favorite one was the year I turned 63, and I thought, well, it's not a very interesting age, and so I'm not sure exactly what I would do for that, but what I ended up doing was asking them simply to make donations in honor of my birthday, and I made a challenge that if they sent a donation of $63, I would match it.
And if they
sent a donation of $63 and it arrived exactly on my birthday, I would double match it.
That's great.
It was so much fun.
What was fun about it?
Well, it was fun watching that particular one, watching the checks come in and just seeing the messages that people gave and how many of them actually kind of rose to the challenge of sending $63. Which for some of them was probably a bit of a stretch.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, you know, that word fundraising is kind of a dirty word in a lot of places, but it sounds like you've managed to take it and turn it into something that's obviously creative, because you've done something different every year, I think.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And fun and energizing, not just for you, but I imagine for pretty much, you know, for all the people involved whose lives you're touching through these efforts that you're making.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And one of the things that I've done over the years, too, is when people have contributed and, you know, folks have contributed, you know, everything from $10 to $500, you know, I'm always kind of amazed at what people send, but I always make sure that I send special thank yous to them and let them know how much money I raised. And the other thing I've done is, like, when an update comes in from the Africa Project that has some kind of interesting story about what's going on over there, I send it on to them so that I can show them what they are participating in.
Oh, wow, that's really neat. It's kind of like you're, it's more than just asking for money. It's like you're servicing a little miniature community that you're creating. And you're helping people to, you know, I don't know how they feel, but it's easy to project. You know, I imagine if I was on the receiving end of that, feeling grateful for the opportunity because, you know, here's a way that I can contribute that's fine, and I've got somebody else who's sort of organizing it for me and helping me to understand what my money's going to.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, some of them have let me know what their experience is. Others haven't. But but I don't know. I get the sense that, you know, a lot of them have been participating in this over the years, and I kind of get the sense they wouldn't be doing that if there wasn't some way it touched them.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, it is touching. You know, we don't actually tend to use that word fundraising. We call it fundraising.
Right, exactly.
And it's pretty serious. If you could say that in terms of something fun, we're pretty serious in that intention, in the sense that, you know, we want it to be something that is inclusive and inspires people. Because it's fun to participate, and it's really fun to give to something that is something that we believe in. And so, you know, in providing people an opportunity to do that, it feels like we do a service for folks. And of course, we could do a service for ourselves also in stepping up to the plate to make it happen, which I'm betting anything is your experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really do think, that it is a gift to people to invite them to make a difference in the world and to make themselves a little larger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I kind of think it's a basic human need, actually, to give. To give from what we're given, because we're given so much, especially those of us in this culture, in terms of material things, we're just given so much. And to give out of that, to give back, just feels really, really good, on a really fundamental level.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you got planned next?
Well, I've been thinking about this year, and I haven't quite committed to this yet, but I think I think my challenge this year is to get people to both pledge to support my summer hiking and also to make it into kind of a guessing game, because I actually don't know how many miles I might hike this summer. So I was thinking of asking people both to contribute for my miles hiked, but also to make a guess at what the actual number would be.
That's great.
And to somehow make that part of the challenge in the game.
Make that kind of a fun part of it.
Yeah, and it would spur me on too.
Well, you know, Mickey, one of the reasons that we wanted to have to speak with you tonight, just because you're such an experienced fundraiser and have made such a difference for the folks in Africa, we've got this you might call it the participation game that we've got going right now.
Yeah.
The participation game is having a fundraiser, you might say.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is we're trying to get 25 people in 2 weeks to decide to do a fundraiser.
Ah.
And and you know, so it's not the people who do the fundraiser in the two weeks, but decide,
right,
yes, I want to do a
right,
fundraiser, and then to let us know about that in an email. So they send an email to participation@livingcompassion, I believe is the email address.
Great.
And so we'll take all those folks who have decided they want to do a fundraiser, and we're going to make a drawing, and we'll pull out a name for someone to be featured in a Voices cartoon.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So anyway, so we thought, as a way to kind of get that going, we'd have you on here who, has done that a lot. Any words that you might have for folks who might be considering something like this, either as an encouragement or as an inspiration?
Well, I think just to do it, just to try something and do it. And, one thing I always do when I do one of these is I set a goal. I always have a goal that I think of amount of money that I would like to raise, and I have never not met it, and I've always exceeded it.
Wow, that is so great.
And so, I guess what I would say to people is it actually works. To just step up and do it is worth it in many ways for the just for the participation, for the raising the funds, for being part of what Sangha is up to right now, and for practice, for seeing what comes up.
Yeah, that's great. And of course, it doesn't have to be some kind of gigantic, overwhelming thing. It can be anything. One of my very favorite fundraisers that I've ever heard about people doing is this one gal. Worked in an office, and she had they have a refrigerator there with a freezer, and so she decided she was going to put ice cream bars in there, and people would make a donation for ice cream bars, and she did that. She raised a lot of money actually in her little office, and so so she would stock them up, and there'd be a little place where people would put the money, and she'd collect that and send it in, and just a really fun, easy, feel good kind of way to do it. So it's everything from that to your bike ride. That's a really fun one.
One of my favorite ones that I remember hearing about was the person who offered to do work tasks for other people, offered his time. And And when he would do it, he would just, he had this little purse, and when he was done, he would ask people to put money in it, and he didn't know how much they would put in it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I remember him talking about that, too. I think he called it the magic purse.
Yeah.
And he would
that sounds
he would just leave the purse there and let people put the money in it. That's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it really could be anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'll put my fundraiser in there.
All right. That's great. I know you will. So that's just an offer to folks. If folks would do that, would enjoy doing a fundraiser, feel inspired to, it would inspire us very much. And so let us know at the email address, participationlivingcompassion.org. Anything else, Mickey, before we go?
Just actually to add to the part about the participation game, I really think it's a lot of fun. And I've been sort of going on it periodically because there's some things on there that you can do over and over again, like send in a tweet.
Uh-huh, yeah, and run up the points. Here, let me give you a total. I've got some this isn't the latest information. This is as of last night. But so far we've got, in pledge points, we've got 3,307.
Oh.
And the pledge dollars that have been pledged to match that is 22,360.
Good start.
Yeah, pretty good, I think. One other little thing about that, we have we've been on a little drive to see if we can get 150 pledges by the end of the day today, and we're still short of that. And so we're on a little campaign to see if we can meet that goal. The committee who organizes has extended the deadline to midnight, and so folks who are out there listening in who want to get in. And so it's a pledge of any size, it's big or small, and so. If you're inspired to do it, go ahead and jump on and help us meet this goal. It'd be really, really fun for us to meet the goal. And there's going to be, we'll announce, I think folks know that there's a little drawing that goes with this. There's going to be 3 guidance appointments with Sherry that are offered. We're going to pull at random out of the folks who have who've made their pledges. And we're going to announce the totals and the winners next week on the show.
Fun. My pledge is in there.
All right, great. Well, thanks a lot, Mickey. Thanks for being with us these past few minutes, and also just for all you've done over the years to support the work in Kentalomba. As you know, as well as anyone, it makes a tremendous difference, and and the project there is changing lives in ways that are beautiful and very, very inspiring. So thanks for that, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the Bridgewalk.
I've been very inspired by the project, so that's what I can do for my part in it.
All right.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Mickey. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, back to you, Michael.
Okay, great. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Mickey. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. I'm thinking about my fundraiser.
Oh, great.
I mean, you can't listen to that and not be thinking about your fundraiser, can you?
Yes, that's true. That's
I mean, that's astounding.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Do you have any ideas you want to share?
They're kind of floating around. I mean, really, some of those things Mickey was talking about, I mean, that's tying it into birthdays and special occasions like that and...
Yeah.
And family and friends, and what is, as we all know, most of us are at a place in life, or many of us are, where, if we really want something for a special occasion, we'll get it for ourselves. We're not actually waiting for family and friends to buy it for us, and so it's kind of tough year after year to come up with gifts for people. And so the cards are great. Right?
Yes.
That's a great way to give somebody a gift who doesn't really need you to go buy something for them. And inviting them to participate in a fundraiser for your special day, that's a good deal.
Yes, 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 indeed. That's great. It's very fun to hear the good news each week and hear the latest. And
get those numbers.
This is
good. This is going in a very good direction.
Yes, yes. And I love the little challenges that are there to inspire us.
Mm-hmm.
I have some announcements here.
All right.
This Friday, July 8th, is the last day to register for the next Reflective Listening Buddies quarter. And this is an opportunity to connect with a participant in another part of the country, or another country even, weekly for 30 minutes of practice support. At the end of July, the 29th and 30th, you'll be at Namaste in Felton, California, for a workshop entitled, What Do Power, Success, and Fun Have in Common? Which is a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. And new announcement this week, there's a new email class with you and June Shiver entitled Zen and the Enneagram, which will be August 1st through September 9th, and the sign-up is by Saturday, July 30th.
July how many?
Saturday, July 30th.
30th, okay, good.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
You know, I'll tell you something about this. At the monastery, there was a retreat going on, and one of the retreatants was struggling with something, and one of the monks said, you know, I just so want to say, no, there really isn't anything wrong with you. You're just a, and it was the same Innea type as the monk who
right.
was making the statement. And so that's when it occurred to us that it's time, again, to bring out the Enneagram and offer that to people, just a reminder that using a tool like that can help us see that what I'm struggling with is not unique. They're all, you know, if we break it down in that way, you know, there are 9 types of people in the world, and we can find ourselves in one of those types, and there are strengths and weaknesses that go with that, and opportunities and obstacles and all of that, and it's just such a helpful tool. So I'm excited that we're going to be offering that again. People have also been asking about the Time to Feel Good, and there is going to be another session of that in November. But we thought we'd get slide the Enneagram in during the summer.
Great. Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. And then August 4th through 7th, What the Buddha Taught, retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center with Dave McKay.
Hmm.
Saturday, August 6th, you'll be in Seattle, Washington for a workshop entitled Connecting to Your Inner Wisdom. And then the next weekend, August 12th through 14th, you'll be at Esalen. What do these questions have in common? August 17th through 24th, that's a Wednesday to Wednesday. What you practice is what you have. Special retreat with you, Sherry, for participants in any of the It's Time to Feel Good email classes.
It's true.
Yes.
And I've heard a rumor there's another, there's nothing wrong with you in there.
There is. August 27th through September 3rd, that's Saturday through Saturday, There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And it's time to make plans, if you haven't been listening, to join you, Sherry, and the monks at the 10th Annual Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 1st.
Mm.
And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And I think we're ready.
Go.
Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Jen.
Hey, Jen.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm calling. It's my birthday.
Today? This very day?
This very day is my birthday.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you. I had
no idea. I know so many people who are having their birthdays between the 4th of July and the 10th of July. I'm going to get one of those little calendars where you write in everybody, you know, on their day.
It must be a big time, huh?
It is. We don't need to pursue that further, but for some reason a lot of people, at least that I know, are born right around this time.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
happy birthday.
Thank you. I thought the chances of my birthday falling on an open air night were probably, you know, this is quite exciting. So I wanted to call as a practice gift for myself. So I'm calling.
Good. Well, what's going on besides?
besides the birthday? Not much. I actually, it's been, I've actually just been like totally identified the whole day. So I'm kind of in that place, and I was like, I'm kind of embarrassed to call. And, you know, of course my life is fine. There are no big problems. I just, my husband is out of the country and can't be in touch today. And I just don't have a lot of family or friends in the area. And boy, conditioning just worked it all day. Like, you know, the poor me, what a, you know, how sad, you're all alone on your birthday. And it's ridiculous, I know, but boy, I've just been in and out all day. So that's kind of what
it is
going on.
Because here's the thing.
I know.
It's only a rumor that you were born on this day.
Oh, okay. Wait, I didn't know that.
You don't know that, right? People have told you that this was the day that you were born, and you believed them. Now, if we take that, you know, expand that out into practice and just consider, this is just one of the things that people have told us that we believed and then developed a whole relationship with. So you could actually decide this year that your birthday is whenever you want it to be, whenever your husband is back, say, and available to celebrate with you, right? And you just declare that your birthday. And, you know,
well,
nobody's going to ask you to prove it. Right, so you could tell various people that today's your birthday, and they would wish you a happy birthday and be none the wiser.
Well, I guess I like that idea. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, because really, truly, I mean, it's really made up, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, it's saying like, yeah, but there's a real date if like the hospital said that this is the thing, and I don't know, this is what the voice is saying, but.
Yeah, because of course the voice wants you to suffer.
Yeah, definitely.
And so
yeah.
if it is made up, now I happen to know your mother, so I think she probably didn't lie to you about this.
She may have told the truth, huh?
Yeah, but people have lied about things like that. They actually have. And so, you know, if it doesn't really, you know, a birthday is to make you happy, right? You've already got all the good stuff. You were born,
right?
And you've lived this long. So that's all good already. And then the birthday thing, the reason it's a big deal is to celebrate your birth and your life and the fact that you're here. And so if that turns into something that causes you to suffer, well, that's just not good at all. So my recommendation is just make it another day.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I was, you know, all day I knew, like, come on, this is, you know, not where I wanted my attention to be, but it just...
Well, and it's late where you are.
Right? Yes.
It's late. I mean, you know, it's late in the day. This birthday this day is almost over. So declare this one a practice, you know, kind of a little dress rehearsal for the real birthday, and then mark that one and plan the celebration.
Well, thank you. I think that is a very good way to always work with conditioning, that I don't have to buy into its story and I can just do something different. So thank you so much.
There's hardly anything that is so absolutely tied to anything that we have to do what conditioning tells us to do in response to it. Really. You know, little kids, if you think about this, people have little kids' birthdays when they're convenient.
This is true.
Right? So the birthday is on Tuesday, but we can't have the party until the grandparents can't get there until Saturday. Now, the little kid doesn't care because it's a party. Right? But it's only after we have enough time for conditioning really to work on us, make all these meanings about things, that we can suffer over something that has no purpose whatsoever except to make us happy.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Well,
you'll let us know when your birthday is, right? So that
I think my new birthday could fall on another Tuesday, and I could call back in and tell you about it.
Precisely.
So.
Precisely. And you will have set it up for great festivities, I'm certain.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and it's such a great gift to get to talk to you on any day, so thank you so much.
Thanks, Jen. Good night.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael. This is JJ from Missouri. How you doing?
Doing good, JJ. How are you?
Fantastic.
What's going on?
I have a quick question to ask you. I wanted to share an awareness with you that just sort of blew my mind. And then I have a big question. I'm going to try to wrap it up in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Before Michael comes out with his virtual cane and takes me off the digital stage.
That's right. Smack you around.
Right. Record, listen. You say the voice of self-hate, one of the ways you know it's self-hate is it uses you, like in the second person. So when you're doing the mentor, do you want to use the word you instead of I or we? Or?
Well, my encouragement is to allow it to develop organically because very often the mentor will address you as you.
Right.
Because the mentor is speaking to you, to an aspect of you, and so you'll hear yourself going back and forth with that.
Yeah, I've actually caught myself saying we.
Yes.
Several
times. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. But yeah, I don't know if there's a certain technique, if one worked better than the other. Or
oh, I think that what makes this such a beautiful addition to awareness practice is that it is so experiential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do it, you try it. When people start out, of course, you know, conditioning has most people in paralysis about everything. And so there's a great fear of doing it wrong or whatever. And I've talked to people who, you know, waited months to record anything because they're being told that they have to get it just right. It has to be just perfect, and they don't want to.
That
know,
was
that
me. Yeah, I dropped out of the email class because of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
As I sit in front of my page full of notes to make sure I have this call just perfect.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, you're right there.
Does
so,
that help you with my Enneagram right there?
Yeah. Yes. That'll be a fun one for you. It's a relationship, right?
Okay.
So you start out and you're talking and you're listening, and because you're recording, you get to listen to it afterwards, and you hear different things, different parts of you listen. You hear different inflections. You realize when conditioning is sneaking in and
right.
taking over. And that's the beauty of this, that we get to kind of step back from and observe the subtleties that have previously all gone on inside the head and have been able to mostly hide out and remain unseen.
Okay. Okay. I wanted to let you know about this awareness I had.
Mm-hmm.
After listening to your unconditional self-acceptance, you talked about like feelings and energy and, you know, they have stories with them and all. I've been trying to quit smoking and drinking. And I noticed I have sleep apnea and I have a lot of problems with energy. I just don't have any energy. And I've noticed that when I want a cigarette or a drink, a lot of times I have this feeling of anxiety.
Uh-huh.
And what I figured out, it's not anxiety. I'm attaching a story to it. That's the energy I've been looking for.
Oh, my God.
And I'm misinterpreting it as, oh, my gosh, I need a cigarette, I need a drink. It's like I'm getting too much energy and I need to dull it in some way.
Right. Well, of course,
and that's exactly.
I'm going to correct your language, okay, because that is a huge awareness, as you noticed. And so there you are. You're being controlled, right, because
mm-hmm.
humans are. You know, we're
mm-hmm.
service stations. We're conditioning until we catch on to what's going on. And so you're just, the energy is being constantly regulated. There's enough, we can siphon some off, siphon that off. Gets a little low, we need to rev it back up again, we can siphon some off.
Right.
And so if that energy is available to you, then you're liable to start making different choices in your life.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'll...
And I start stepping out of depression and things like that.
Exactly.
And I start enjoying life. And
yeah.
Like,
so
wow.
Yeah. So it's not that you're doing that. You're not anesthetizing yourself or depressing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It is, right? Conditioning is. Egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is.
Right.
And so, yes. There. After that little correction, all I can say is a wildly enthusiastic yes. Exactly it.
Yeah. As far as the big question I've had, I've heard other people talk about it on your archives. But I've lost my job and I live with my family, and I've noticed my family's extremely negative, and they can actually be, I mean, downright vicious verbally. And when I try to stay centered, it's like they try to push my buttons.
Yes.
And I'm trying to say, okay, well, I know some of this is projection. Some of this is me. And I found that, you know what, some of this is me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, the karmic conditioning going back and forth. But even when I notice it, you know, it's like they see that when I'm nice and I'm centered and pleasant, it's like, oh, weakness. We can really get them now. You know, it's like they take enjoyment to try to get me mad or angry or, you know, get as much as they can out of me if I do something nice. And it's like, oh, this is the time to ask for this, 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 and, you know. And I, well, some of this is projection, but some of it isn't. I don't know how, you know.
Well, we have a saying around here. Just because it's projection doesn't mean it isn't true.
Oh, okay. So
especially in a family situation,
right.
We share a lot of conditioning, and so yeah, I can see what these people are doing. I can see it because it's true. I'm doing it too. So to me, the good news about that is that it can eliminate the judgment aspect. Okay, we're all trapped in karmic conditioning, and this is what karmic conditioning looks like. One of the things that I would encourage you to consider is that people will often look conscious who are absolutely unconscious.
Right.
Yeah. So it seems like people are doing things intentionally or volitionally, but they're actually just unconsciously acting out a karmically conditioned program.
Right. But it's so hard to help yourself in this situation. How can you know, it's almost impossible to do it to others and say, hey,
well,
I want you to wake up. And
yeah, the only person you can help is you. And so here, would you like an image for it?
Okay.
So do you want, now forget the violence part of this image, okay? But there's either bullfighting or Aikido.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because that's what you're going to do, right? You're going to instead.
Bullfighting hasn't been working.
Yeah. Well, right. So tempting, though, isn't it? So let's go
I'm
with
I'm beating
Aikido.
My head against the brick wall, thinking that I'm going to knock the brick wall down.
Yeah. And so what? So now you know what goes on, and now you practice because you're going for the black belt, right? And
right.
So you go into the situation and you start watching the moves. Right, and you see when this, then that, and you kind of drop back and move to the side, and then the person does this, and it's an Aikido match, okay? And when you start feeling yourself stop having fun,
mm-hmm.
then it's time to go take a walk around the block or do whatever, and come back to yourself, and when you're ready, go back in again. But not lose sight of the fact that it's an Aikido match. If you get identified, you're gonna think it's a boxing match, and you're gonna try to put somebody on the ropes,
right.
And that I mean, if you do, you do. You know, it's then you can say, well, that was not skillful. Sorry about that. And regroup and come back in when you're ready and begin to watch that process again.
Right. But is there any other choice besides, like, if someone's doing something and they have a habit of doing it over and over, like confrontation, you know, I see my choices either I can confront them and we can have it out, or I can give in. And
there's no.
The only in between is like communication, and
well,
some people just can't communicate with. It's like, well, you're doing this, this, and this. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. You know.
Yeah, my
yes,
my
you are.
Encouragement because you're. It sounds like you're the only one really in the family committed to awareness.
Correct.
So that's your goal. It's not to be right or have them be wrong or you be wrong and them right or win or lose or any of these other things. You're practicing mastery. You're practicing living from center, living skillfully. And so within that, it doesn't really matter what people are doing. Can you stay in a place of compassion for yourself and for them? That's all that's going on. The content is absolutely irrelevant.
But is there a line of, you know, I'm being nice to them versus they're taking advantage of me?
Well, if you're being nice, that's as identified as them taking advantage.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a karmically conditioned,
right.
More acceptable identification, but it's an identification just the same. So
okay.
Here's my other encouragement.
Okay.
Start reading Gandhi.
Okay.
Yep, he's your hero.
Okay.
Yep, yep.
yeah, I noticed the similarities between that
yep.
and what you teach, yes.
Yeah, and he never, as far as we can tell, lost sight of the point of the whole thing. Never got confused about what's really going on.
Okay.
All right,
thank
JJ.
Thank
well,
you very
keep
much.
Keep us posted, huh?
Will do.
This
thank
is
you
exciting.
Very much.
All Bye-bye. Right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, JJ. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. It's Jeffrey in New York City.
Jeffrey.
Well, hi there.
How are you?
Wonderful. My birthday's on Thursday.
Good grief. Veritable pickle.
You can add it.
Of July
yes.
birthdays. Very exciting. On Thursday, what day is that?
I was born 7/7/77.
Woohoo.
So my lucky stars, I think,
wow.
are lining up. But I will be doing some fundraising on my birthday.
Can you say more about that?
For sure, yeah. In lieu of gifts, I'm having people to my apartment, and in lieu of gifts, I'm asking them to make a donation instead.
Throw a party
can be any
for
amount.
Them and ask them to make donations. I love it.
It's a good system. Everybody leaves.
Yes, everybody leaves happy.
Yeah, and I don't get more stuff that I may or may not want for my birthday, you know?
Yes.
So it's a good thing.
Yes. Yes,
but,
very good thing. You get stuff
what?
You want for your birthday.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, well, that's actually it. I get a closeness with people, and the monastery gets stuff, and everybody wins.
Everybody wins. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful way to spend that anniversary, that celebration.
Yeah, good.
But I wanted to talk about recording and listening really briefly. I noticed that I had a really wonderful experience a few days back where the sort of pattern of suffering that I recorded about and listened about has now begun to trigger the memory of that recording, if that makes sense.
Yes. I think. So, yes, when the pattern starts in, the mentoring is there. Just arises spontaneously, is that what you mean?
Yeah, as if now I've taught myself this habit of hearing the mentor's voice and being taken care of in that moment.
Yes. Yeah. And it's the best, isn't it? Because at that point, first of all, it doesn't matter that it arises, because it arises into this acceptance. It's being embraced, whatever it is. And,
mm-hmm.
Of course, we can suspect that it's a very short step to it's not arising at all, because there's no longer the context is no longer there for it to exist.
Yes. Well, and I can see that on the horizon, that's what I'm moving toward.
Yes.
That what would trigger all this suffering is actually going to trigger just more presence, more awareness, and the whole scale is just tipping over into that direction.
Yes. God, I love that.
I couldn't be more grateful for
yes.
the program.
Yeah.
The email class, all of how that works.
Yeah, yeah, me too. It's it's really stunning. It more than anything that I've ever participated in, I wish this would just take over the world. You know, that everybody could at least know that this tool exists and is available.
Yes, yes. And I was feeling it was actually at the start of this month. I made a commitment to myself to record at least 10 minutes every day. And I've been recording more than that. But with that commitment just came a sense that I couldn't do the wrong thing on the recording.
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I'm going to fill 10 minutes regardless, so I might as well just record what I want. And it has just opened up a whole new relationship with the recording.
Yeah, part of it, I would project, is that it's taking the whole thing out of the hands of anybody who wants to be in control of it, who wants to orchestrate it. In workshops, sometimes we do an exercise where we ask people to take out your paper and your pen, put your pen on the paper. Now don't stop and don't lift it up for 10 minutes. So just keep writing. And it's almost impossible for people to do. You know, people want to stop and think about what they're going to say next. But if they'll just do that exercise, oh my God, what the treasure trove of stuff that one starts to have access to. And it's the same thing that you're describing, only I would say more powerful, because it's you speaking in your own voice and doing kind of a now I'm aware exercise into your recorder. Fabulous.
Yes, and no censorship.
Yes.
No holding back, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
and God, haven't we all, well, okay, me, I have, and not like you, always wanted the opportunity to just say whatever is there without any notion at all of judgment or censorship. You know, there's just, so either you go to therapy and you can say whatever, but there's that niggling, you know, the next time you see this person, they're thinking that, they're thinking about that, or whatever it is that conditioning can use, you know, to bring it back, But this is so confidential. It's just so completely you and you that there's no reason not to allow everyone and everything to be there. And it's the being there that is the embracing.
Mm. Yes. Well, and it's also wonderful to have the mentor embrace things that conditioning claims are not important.
Yes.
Because I want to be embraced across all of my life, big things and small things and everything.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
And to realize that the mentor, of course, representing the intelligence, the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates you, because it is everything about you, of course it can accept, does accept everything about you.
Yes, nothing outside of that.
Nothing outside of that.
Yes.
And no one to hold a position, you know, a subject-object position that would result in any kind of, in anything other than oneness.
Mm. Yes, no one filtering in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good
thing. Yeah. I feel so lucky, so grateful.
Yeah, me too, Jeffrey.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Jeffrey. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dennis from Toronto.
Hey.
Hey. I'm having a difficult situation with my mother right now. She's really sick, and she's always had a thing about being paranoid and in some pretty upsetting ways, believing that people are conspiring against her, that people have been told not to help her. And she started feeling ill about a year ago. And at that time, she did some tests and things. And
she had been what?
She fell ill.
Uh-huh.
And she went through medical tests, and they didn't really find anything to do, and she just kind of gave up on that path. And she decided, she came to the view that she has cancer and that she'd need to completely change her diet. And she's done that in a really dramatic way. And she's lost about like 5 pounds every month since then. And she's, really sick to me now. I mean, by appearance, it looks, she looks a lot older. And I feel like I can't reason with her, and I don't really know what to do. And I want to take care of myself at the same time, and it's a really difficult situation. And in particular, I mean, maybe not now at this point, but I think...
hang on just 1 second. I'm having a little bit of difficulty understanding you. You sound a little muffled to me. So maybe speak a little slower.
Okay. I really don't know how to handle the situation skillfully. In particular, I feel a lot of guilt at the prospect of having to commit her to a hospital if that becomes necessary to keep her alive, versus just sort of letting her do her own thing, which she might die, but it would be on her turn. And I really don't know. I mean, I need as much support with that as I can get.
So, if I'm understanding you, what she wants to do is do it the way she wants to do it. And if she dies sooner as a result of that, that's okay with her.
She doesn't say it in that way, but I guess that's one way of interpreting it, because from her perspective, it's more like, I have to give up and no one's going to help me anyway. This is the best I can do, and I just have to live with the type thing.
Okay, and if you said to her, I think you should go in the hospital, what does she say?
She said things like, doctors don't care about me. They've been told by, the government or security people not to help me. Everyone knows what's wrong with me, but they won't tell me and give me the help I need.
Uh-huh. Wow, that is a rough place, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the guilt in you, tell me about that.
Well, it's about fear of making the wrong decision. On both sides of the equation, I guess, that if she dies on her own terms, maybe there's something I could have done to help her, but if I get other agencies involved, maybe that'll, I know a lot of these things don't, I've actually taught medical ethics before, and I know a lot of these things don't actually work out that long, so I'd want to be really, talk to a lot of people, find compassionate people, but there's a chance that it could just make it worse, and she'd still end up, dying without living, without living any longer.
Okay, so just, let me ask you this.
It's like fear of making the wrong decision, that's what it is.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you know, at least intellectually, that you are not in control?
I guess so.
Okay, you guess so?
Yeah. I guess that's a really hard one for me because I've used that sort of as a reason not to, like in other areas of my life, not to do things that are important to me that I don't have control of my life anyway. So that's a really hard one for me.
Well,
also, but yeah.
The thing is, if there to me there are a couple of things involved in this. One is I hope that you will consider that what's really behind all of this for you is what I talk about as self-hate. Okay, so the voices have you in a position where really whatever you do is going to be wrong. Do you have a sense of that? That's the setup. If you this, well then, if you that, well then. Okay, so it doesn't matter what you do or don't do. You are, they're going to be waiting for you to tear you to shreds. Okay, so that's my first encouragement, is to realize that those voices that are tormenting you aren't tormenting you out of anything other than the pleasure of tormenting you. So I'm fond of telling people that as long as you're willing to feel bad, there will be always be something to feel bad about. Feeling bad is a process. It's not content-driven. Okay? Now, that's very different from if I were to say about my own life, well, you know, I know it would be good for me to exercise, but, you know, I don't really want to. And, you know, I don't have any control over how my life goes anyway. That's a very different conversation from I'm going to be able to figure out the right thing to do so that the right outcome will happen so that I won't have to feel bad or listen to voices beat me up. Can you see the difference in those?
Yeah, I think I can.
If nothing else, there's the simple one person is you and the other person is somebody else. So, yes, you are absolutely responsible for doing the very best that you can. We are everywhere all the time. You can make choices for yourself, about yourself, and it would be, you would be well served to do that. The first one that I would encourage you to make is a choice not to live in relationship with those voices that hate and torture you. But trying to figure out what's the right thing to do for somebody else, to me, is a very... as they say, slippery slope.
How do you mean slippery slope?
Well,
I mean, is it that like I shouldn't be thinking about that or something like that? Or?
Well, the idea, I mean, the trap that the voices have you in is that you're supposed to make a decision about this woman's life that's going to be the right decision. And you're not
right.
In control of that. So you could decide that you're going to do whatever, hoping it's going to have a certain outcome that perhaps you haven't even explored yet, you know, that possibility, and it goes terribly, terribly wrong. Now, is that your fault? So that whole area of how to be with someone else, so that you can do the right thing, so that it's just a it is fraught with suffering. Okay, if you don't know that you are not in control, that all you can do is the best that you can do in any moment of life, and whatever happens will happen. That's true for yourself. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's true about everything, right?
It's true about everything. You can do the very best that you can do, and you have no control. It's just that when you start making decisions for other people, it really opens up the potential for a tremendous amount of abuse from conditioned mind, self-hatred. So, for instance, you put your mother in the hospital against her will, basically, and it doesn't go well. Are you going to be all right with that? Are you going to be able to say, with a clear mind and heart, I did what seemed to me the best thing to do at the time. That was the best I could do.
I think I would be after, you know, if I made the decision. It's just leading up to it. It's leading up to any decision. It's a sense of watching like a car crash in slow motion or something.
Well, yeah. When we're trapped in conditioned mind, that's very true. It doesn't need to be that way. It's possible for us simply to be in relationship with life such that it is unfolding and we are responding. So there's that sense of when the time comes, you will be moved to do whatever from the clearest, most loving, compassionate place that you can be at the time. And then whatever happens is whatever happens. But the agonizing is an unnecessary addition. It's what makes life miserable. It doesn't lead us to clarity. Agonizing is just agonizing. Acting is acting. You with me?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I keep coming back to, you know, that the first thing is just, you know, to pay attention and to be aware of what's going on with my mom and with myself.
Yes. 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 Because as with, I think we were talking about this with JJ, your job, and I can say this because we're talking, right? So that tells me that much about you. Your job is to find the most compassionate place inside yourself that you can find in every moment and to live from there. Now, will conditioned mind give you a big round of applause for that? No. According to conditioned mind, it'll never be compassionate enough. You'll never be centered enough. It'll never be right enough. And that's what makes that whole conversation irrelevant. What you're learning to do is stay in the most open-hearted, compassionate place you can find for yourself, your mother, and all the rest of us. And there's no judgment that goes with that. There's just being there, seeing what you see. As you see more clearly, you will move from a place of greater compassion, and you will move through life in that way. And that's all, as far as I'm concerned, that's all that's ever going on. There are no right decisions, wrong decisions, good, bad. There's just being the most compassionate being we can be and seeing what else is possible.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I've been practicing that a lot in the last year, and I've been able to pick up on a lot of the kind of scams from conditioning about that. Like my family tells me about, you know, unrelated stuff or related stuff that I don't, because I don't get really, really, really worked up anymore, that I don't care about what's going on in the situation. And I've had the presence of mind to say, you know, actually, I do really care deeply, and to, you know, to myself, and then to respond to that when other people tell me that in a kind of kind way, you know, like with, you know, like I love you or something, to whoever is telling that to me, and that's really helped.
Have you done a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat?
Yeah, last summer.
Say it again?
Yeah, I did one last summer.
Okay. Good. Good. So you know who you're taking care of?
I do, actually. And I go back to what happened on the retreat a lot because it was a really good experience for me. Yeah.
Good. Might be really important to revisit that as much as you can.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep us posted, huh?
Okay.
Check in.
Okay, thanks for the show and for taking my call.
Thank you. Take good care of yourself.
You too.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Dennis. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're coming near the top of the hour here. Would you like to take one more caller?
What? How close to the top are we?
We're about 3 minutes before 6 o'clock.
Well, let's give it a go.
Okay.
As long as that person knows we're on a tight time budget here.
Yes. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Catherine.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I just called to connect, so 3 minutes is perfect.
Oh, good. Very good. Very good.
I've really gotten a whole lot out of listening to the other callers, and I've really been seeing a lot of conditioning convincing me that my life is a particular way. And I will maybe go several days believing that, and then suddenly I'll start asking, wait a minute, what makes you think
evidence?
My life is...
Where is he? Show me the evidence.
Yeah. And it's that realization that really there really is nothing wrong. So why is there all this upset and fear and,
uh-huh.
You know, it's just kind of stepping back from that. So I'm just really grateful for the practice and being able to see that.
And are you, at this point, are you a regular RLer?
Oh, you know what? I was thinking, boy, I haven't recorded and listened for 2 weeks.
Aha. That's
And yes, I was very regular. I mean, very, very. And I was in the queue, seeing if I would get on the air, and it was just, wow, you haven't, that would be a great thing to do, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah, I find that that those two things kind of go together. You know, when I talk to people who are depressed, and very often there's a set of symptoms, and one of the first things is, well, no, actually, I'm not exercising. So it just kind of goes together. And I've noticed with recording and listening that if there's a gap in it, it's that much easier for a story to get started. For you know, it just that old story and it just kind of slide in there and then pretty soon it's making a case and so yeah. The idea of I'm gonna record every day, for whatever period of time, just how am I doing? How's my life? What's going on? What's new? What's different? You know, what am I feeling good about? What am I enjoying? Listen to it the next day, record for this day. Really does keep that kind of insidious old conditioning at bay.
Yes.
So that's what you'll be doing now, huh?
That is what I will be doing.
We'll be thinking
absolutely.
We'll be thinking of you. We'll all be doing it too. Maybe everybody who's here tonight will just all, you know, finish this and then do a little record and listen and go about our lives.
Mm-hmm. It will be much better.
Yeah.
I know. After I do that, well, I know exactly where my recorder is, and I can see myself hanging up the phone and going right to that. So.
Yes. Excellent. Well, you were the perfect 3-minute person, so thank you for that.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Good night, Kathy.
And it was great to reconnect. And
yeah. we all get you know, realigned here. It's like like having your wheels aligned, you know, or your tires balanced and that sort of thing. That's what we're doing here. So you know, get those wobbles out of the whole thing.
Yes.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Take care. You too. Good night.
Okay. Bye bye.
Thank you for joining us, Catherine. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. That was a fun show. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was a good time?
It was a great time.
Yeah, I liked it. Let's do it again.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Bye.
Bye.